Daisy, could you tell us about your education of children? Something about...
You know, it all depends upon two things, I believe. If we understand these two things, the whole program of education will be well understood. One is the definition of a child. What is a child given to a family? And the other one is the aim of this life here. What's the aim of this life given to this child? If we can understand these two ends, then it will be very easy to join them together, the beginning and the end. According to the writings of Baha'u'llah, a child given to any family in the whole world is a treasure house of God. In this treasure house, there are jewels, precious jewels, entrusted by the hand of God. Each child is different from another one. Therefore, the duty of parents and educators will be to explore this treasure house, to find out the jewels, to polish them, and to make the whole world benefit by these jewels. These are the three processes of the first steps of the child education. By jewels, I mean talents, capacities, potentialities given to the child. And how many thousands and millions of children have been buried without being explored, without manifesting themselves in this life at all? They never gave them a chance, because of the cruel circumstances, because of the waywardness of the people of the world, because of wars and famines caused by the ignorance of man. By ignorance, I mean being ignorant of the fate of man on this life. They use men as animals. If they are killed by millions, it's all right. For them, I mean. But for God, no. Each one must become a fruitful tree, must express themselves in this life. And all the potentialities and talents must be manifested by the family and by education institutions. Now, how very far this is from what the people today understand. Today, they think that the child is a bundle of passions and desires and volitions, and all these things should be gratified. It's not true. They are not born to be fed and gratified. On the contrary, they are born to be excavated, explored, so that things will be manifested by them. When you plant a stem in the earth, it's true that we feed that stem, but we are waiting for the stem to grow. We are expecting the stem to be a fruitful tree and then give blossoms and fruits. The whole process of education is this and nothing else. And what is the aim of this life? What is the aim of the life of a child in the womb of a mother? What's the purpose of it? Why should it remain there for 9 months and 9 days or something? Why is the child given eyes there? Is there anything to look at? Never. Why is the child given 2 hands, 2 feet? Is there any place for him to walk? Never. But by the destiny of God, by the plan of God, that child, in that concealed circumstance, is given something or many things that he needs them here when he comes to this world. If a child is born lacking 1 finger, the whole family will lament and say, my child is born insufficiently equipped for the life here. But then they allow their children to be born in the next world without any equipment. The life of this world is the embryo of our spiritual birth to the life after. This is the end of all education, all trainings. The whole life of man on this planet is to be prepared to be born in eternal life. Between these two, the birth of the child and the end of the life, we must always try to prepare the child for the spiritual birth in the eternal world of God. By eternal, I mean endless worlds of God. Endless worlds of God. This will prepare the child to make progress gradually, steadily, from one world to the other, and that progress should remain steadily and forever. And endless. Is this clear? How precious you children are to all of us. Every child. You must never think that the children who are born in Persia or America are the truth. Children who are born in India, in the islands of the Pacific, in Africa, wherever they are the bundle of the gift of God to every family. Lord, the eyes are given to the children in the womb of the mother so that the child can see the whole world, the creation of God. The eyes that we carry with ourselves to the world to come will be our faith to the manifestation of God in our age. The people who do not see, who do not recognize, who do not embrace the faith of the manifestation of God in their own age, they will be born blind in the other world.
Mr. Fazi, if a local spiritual assembly is planning classes for children, to educate children in a Baha'i community, at what age should they begin to hold those classes? Or what age should the children begin to attend those classes?
Abdul Baha says, you must gather the children together at the age of 5. It means that till the age of 5, the children must have home family, home education. It means the families should come together and gather the children together so that they will be always feeling well protected in the bosom of the family. And if the child is taken away from the family sooner than that, he'll always lack something. Especially the very little ones, they don't have the tongue to say anything. But they show it with their attitude to us. A mother leaves the child for one day, for example. When he returns, she returns in the evening, she will feel that the child is feeling a stranger to her. They are extremely sensitive and they understand these things. Therefore, Abdul Baha says, gather them at the age of 5. And Abdul Baha stresses very much on the difference between instruction and education. And when they are gathered in the age of 5, he doesn't say start with instructing them. No. He says gather them together and start with this. Teach them manners, politeness and love. Manners, politeness and love. At present we don't have the universal manners of the Baha'i faith. But whatever manners are prevailing in their own society, in their own community, and whatever manners which will be as near to the principles of the Baha'i faith as possible must be taught to the children. In politeness and above all, love. You see, here Abdul Baha never says gather them and teach them. Instruct them. Education should start. The process of education is the exploration of the children and finding those talents. But instruction is the transfer of knowledge from one person to another. For example, a teacher of mathematics will tell them how the process of 2 times 2 should be done by them. This is the easiest thing. And it's very much accepted by all the people of the world. But education is the hardest part of it. And if we will be successful in educating our children within the spirit of the Baha'i Faith, universalism of the Baha'i Faith, the brotherhood of mankind, this is the real education that we are giving to the present generation. At the age of 5,
really interested in what you said about the little child being estranged from the mother when the mother has gone away for one day. Do you mean by this that the mothers and should be with the children as much as possible
up until
the age of 5?
Certainly.
And it would not be advisable if a mother had the choice to maybe go out and work and leave the child alone.
You know the necessities of life these days will oblige us to break some of the rules. All these idealistic rules of education given by Abdul Baha and Baha'u'llah will be practiced when the means of living will be so cheap that Abdul Baha says 3 hours work a day will be sufficient for every family. 3 hours. Then the mothers don't have any excuse. Or fathers, that's nothing. You know, Abdul Baha says the very first instinct that the children have is the sense of protection. Even a child of one day, you try it, child of one day, hold the child like this and try to place the child in the cradle. Now, move your hand all of a sudden down, you see, move this way, child will do like to protect himself against falling. It says it's one of the first instincts given to the child, protection. He's always searching to be protected. Because out of all the creatures of the world, the weakest child is the child of man. Other animals, no. They are not as weak as the child of man. Other animals will grow to walk within a day or so, will provide themselves with anything is required for them, but the child of man should be protected even at the age of 80. Did I tell you the story of one of our friends in America? He had been here for about half century from Persia. After 50 years, he told me, went to back to Tehran to visit his mother. And the very first thing he did was to take a shower, where he had crossed the country and was dusty and so on. The moment he went to the shower, somebody knocked at the door and said, "I hope you'll not get cold." And this was the voice of his mother. 50 years away, and the boy told me I was just in tears. The mother never thought that it's 50 years I'm taking care of myself. But still that instinct of motherhood and protection of the child manifested itself without any restraint. "I hope you will not catch cold." this is the nature of mother, and this is what the children love, particularly small ones. And they must be fed with this sense of protection.
Could I just ask one more thing about the, you said at the age of 5 that the children should be gathered together for this moral instruction?
Not moral, manners, politeness, and love.
And love.
Love.
Well, then when does training in reading and writing and science?
After that.
After that?
Yes, he says the first requirement is to teach them these things. It's more important than reading and writing. And reading and writing, he said, it must be in the sweetest way. Very easy, very lovable, very, very much appealing to the nature of the child, not by force.
Well, speaking of force, then one more question. In terms of discipline, I know we'd love to hear you talk a little bit about disciplining children, but I was also wondering if you could include forms of discipline, because people wonder what forms are really allowable.
Yeah. the word discipline and punishment is not used in our literature. You'll be surprised that the beloved master never said punish the child. He knows that the children may be apt to do things by mistake, you know, things which are unpleasant to the parents. But he very emphatically says, never beat the children. The people of the world think that the child being beaten is well educated or well disciplined. Abdul Baha says, never. They will become outlaw in future if in their infanthood, during the years of childhood, they cannot revenge that beating. They will do it in future when they become stronger. Now suppose a child breaks this flower pot and the mother comes and beats the child. The two things are broken, the child and flower pot. We must do something that the mistake will be redressed. Therefore he says, Abdul Baha says, emphatically, to awaken the child. Awakening is the word used by Abdul Baha. Awaken the child to the situation by all the pleasant ways and means possible for the family. He emphasizes the fact that the Arabs educating horses, they never beat a horse. And when you ask them why, they say, if I beat the horse will never be trained. And then Abdul Baha very lamentably asks, is our children less than animals? Why should they be beaten? No, punishment, which is used very often, like, is not a true word for the children. The child is in darkness, doesn't understand the value of this umbrella, and doesn't know why this is used here. If there is something happening to it, the child is in darkness. What should we do? We must bring a light and show him this. Awaken the child, always awakening. And the other very harmful result of beating is this, that the soul of the child will recoil within itself. The child will become introvert altogether. And God knows when and at what stage of his life or her life this soul will be unfolded again. That sense of inhibition will always... And in the class, the teacher says, who knows this? This child who has been beaten in the family is always afraid to raise his finger. Always afraid that perhaps somebody else will beat him. Why should we do this to our children? Second point was this. Abdul Baha says, after beating is tongue lashing. Tongue lashing is worse than beating. We should never use these words for the child, so that the child will be abashed, will be put to shame, will be belittled in front of others and in front of the family itself. Always will think that the mother doesn't like me, father doesn't like me, I'm unwanted in this family, when they use their tongue, sharp tongue against children. It's very bad. It kills the spirit of the child. I know a girl told me, I often told my mother, please take the whip and beat me, but don't talk like this to me. It's worse than beating. Baha'u'llah, what has Baha'u'llah said in the Book of Iqan? He says, if somebody is wounded by a sword, the wound will be healed after some time. But if that person is wounded by the tongue of a man, it will not be healed even within centuries. Why? Because he relates the story in his family. The family will take it down to another family. Generations will know that somebody had told their great-grandfather such a word in front of such a community. That's why Baha'u'llah, in all his writings, he gives a specific duties for hands and eyes and tongue. He says, tongue is given to you so that you will praise God and his creation. eyes are given to you to see the glory of God in everything created. And hands are to be taught to be raised, well, because God is so generous with you.